Friends, you're very welcome to Irish Radio Network, USA, and we are delighted to welcome a friend, a true friend of ours indeed, and he is the Lord Mayor of Belfast, Máirtín Ó-Maolóir, and Máirtín, you are indeed very, very welcome.
Adrian, great to be on the programme and great to be back in New York since my appointment as Lord Mayor or Mayor of Belfast. We have found Irish America to be as generous as always, and everywhere I've gone in the States there's been an open door, and that has been the case yesterday in Boston, today in New York, and then this weekend we're going back to Massachusetts.
And indeed, and by tomorrow you'll be heading up to, up to Holyoke, in Massachusetts, for what is the for what has got to be one of the greatest parades in all of the United States.
And you know, it's worth saying it again: the extent of the celebration of Ireland, of the Irish, of Irish America, of St. Patrick in the U.S. is absolutely mind blowing. For those of us who come from the city of Belfast, really arriving in America this month, the month of March, is always an unforgettable thrill, an unforgettable experience. The love for Ireland, the high regard for Ireland, the depth of the knowledge about Ireland, the support for Irish literature, Irish music, Irish companies even, is really is humbling. And it's my great pleasure to go off the beaten track, not to be in Boston or New York for St. Patrick's Day, but actually for the parade to go to Holyoke, and I'm told it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day for the Irish and for Irish America, and I'm really looking forward to that.
I can tell you that previous honorees, and we get slid right into the middle of it there, with an unforgettable experience, but everybody, or the previous Ambassador Award honorees, Vincent Dowling, we had Trish Hardy, editor of Irish American Magazine, our own LaRusha, Brennan Glucksman, and of course John Leahy, president of Quinnipiac University, Charlotte Moore, and Kieran O'Reilly from the Irish Repertory Theatre, and then, like I say, Anya and myself, which we enjoyed immensely. And last year it was Christine Keneally, historian, who now runs the Great Irish Hunger Institute at Quinnipiac University. A lot of terrific opportunities through the years in an area that is traditionally very Irish. And as with many places, that was, Holyoke was, of course, traditionally a melting pot for Irish, for the Irish and for Irish immigrants in particular, who were who came to Massachusetts to talk about servile work, to build the canals, to basically get into areas where their brawn and their strength and their entrepreneurship would develop. But talk about a diverse and diverse city. As with many of our cities, the Irish are there. But what they have is a tremendous legacy in any of those cities. But diversity has indeed taken over very much on both sides of the Atlantic, which might bring us to Belfast itself. Anya and I spent, at your invitation, a week in Belfast, the longest period that we had done. We were actually, we were broadcasting and we were introduced to a tremendous number of people by, indeed, recommended and set up by yourselves from talk about diversity and diverse parts of a singular city. Tremendous diversity in Belfast, and if I may say so, Lord Mayor, many across America still think of Belfast as a city of Protestants and Catholics, nationalists and unionists, and they would not believe that's a fair description, unless you take in all of the other progressive aspects of Belfast.
Well, I suppose, Adrian, the great good fortune of Belfast is that it's pushing into the future, that it's future focused, that diversity, and the Americans come up with this first, of course, diversity is strength. And one of the things we've had the great honour of doing to our many visitors, and we, 3 weeks ago we had 25 leading business people and politicians from the East Coast largely. There were some people from Silicon Valley who came in on a Belfast business mission. The first time in 20 years we've been a business mission into the city, supported by the American Ireland Fund. Our great friends from the state legislature of New York, Mike Cusick, Mike Fitzpatrick, Brian Kavanagh, and our Roisin and Irish connection, Representative Brooke Krasny, who's out there in Coney Island. I think what they saw and what you saw is a city that's on the rise. And I know that Governor Cuomo of New York, who I met last week, I was in Albany, then I was home for our own St. Patrick's Day parade, now back again. I know that's what the strap line he uses for New York is on the rise as well. And one of the things we've tried to do is show people a city which will inspire and surprise them. So not many people are aware of the fact that Belfast is the fastest growing knowledge economy in Europe. That's one of the reasons we have so many talented people from around the world coming there, especially computer programming, engineering, coding, that there are thousands of jobs in those sectors. Citigroup alone employs 1,400 people in the city of Belfast. Allstate employs 1,500 people in Belfast. Highly talented people, young people with great ambition for the future. The biggest and most successful sport in the city of Belfast today is ice hockey, with the Belfast Giants team again emerged as league leaders. They play against British sides. The greatest and biggest film production in Europe last year, biggest TV film production, was Game of Thrones, $700 million in East Belfast. You saw that. The wonderful Paint Hall, which was a former shipyard paint hall, now is a film studio. The greatest man-made tourist attraction on the island of Ireland, without a doubt, is Titanic Belfast. And again, you saw that. It turned green for St. Patrick's Day.
Incredible.
As the City Hall, which is a wonderful, again, symbol, I think, of a shared and inclusive city. And this diversity is something that I have learned from the cities I visit. New York, 37% of the people in New York were not born in America. Over 50% of the people in Toronto were not born in Canada. And we need, I think, to really have more diversity, be a really open city, attract more people in who are focused on family, education, entrepreneurship, doing well. And you know, that, for me, symbolizes, for example, our Filipino community, very strong Filipino community in Belfast. And one of the reasons why, Adrian, I have 9 chaplains. The Christians, of course, get 4, because, as we say, they fight a lot. So I do have a Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Ireland, and Catholic chaplain, all great peacemakers, great people. But in fact, more important to me, or equally important, was that I have a Baha'i chaplain, a Hindu chaplain, a Muslim chaplain, a Jewish chaplain, and a Buddhist chaplain. And they have been a gateway into the new Belfast, into the diverse Belfast, to make sure that, you know, we tell people that if you're of a different faith, if you're not orange and green, that Belfast is the city you want to go to, because talent will be welcome there. And I suppose the last thing I'll say about how cities change is that the youngest region in Europe is the Belfast-Dublin corridor. In a list of 250 cities, listing those who have population under 15, Dublin's number 2, 21%, Belfast is 17, 18%. Put them both together and you have the youngest city region in Europe. And that gives me great hope and optimism for the future, because people my age have a lot of baggage. We've been through tough times. We were supporting the peace, working hard for the peace. But this new generation coming behind us are brilliant, vibrant, ambitious, high aspirations. And they are the people, the young people today, not only under 15, but under 25, under 30. They're really crafting a completely new Belfast, and we're really grateful for that, even.
St. Patrick's Day in Belfast this year has... probably we'd be singled out as the most spectacular of, and spectacular not just in the greening of the Titanic, but spectacular in the sense that the cohesion of all the groups you've mentioned. And by the way, we were delighted last August to be there when you were setting up meetings of all of the different faith leaders in what was, among other things, that was a first for Belfast. But the one aspect of the Belfast Parade, and we've seen some clips of it, is the tremendous vibrancy. Sometimes we think of Northern Ireland, and when we think of marches of protest.
Yeah.
This St. Patrick's Day and the St. Patrick's Day Parade this year in Belfast just exudes all that is the best of Belfast. These are people who are happy with themselves and happy with what's happening, and for good reason.
I think there's definitely been a mindset change. There's been a shift in confidence. You know, the two watchwords for Belfast are diversity and inclusion. When I first went into politics in the 80s, there was no celebration of St. Patrick's Day in Belfast at all. And this year we had a celebration which wasn't only a celebration of the green, but in fact was an inclusive celebration. For me, that's a more difficult prize because, you know, I can celebrate my Irish nationalism.
Sure.
I'm a very proud Irish nationalist, Irish Republican. I can celebrate that any time, and I could have a one community celebration of that. But actually, we reached higher than that in Belfast. We said, what if it was wholly inclusive? What if we had young people from the Shankill celebrating their Irish heritage as well, and young people from the Falls? And we managed to pull that off. And for me, that's a greater prize than having a one community celebration. And the people, other cities, other different types of celebrations are appropriate, but for the
right.
City of Belfast to talk about both communities uniting, 700 young participants dressed up, taking part in different floats. The theme was Into the Future.
Right.
To go from City Hall to, you know, a free concert, and have people from across the city saying, okay, this is the common ground. We do agree, we disagree in some matters still, but that the ground of disagreement is decreasing, and we can unite as a people, regardless of the politicians. The politicians will still be log-jammed and paralyzed and difficulties, and you know, and I understand that, but the ordinary people saying, we want to come together to celebrate our Irish heritage, and that is radical, revolutionary, dramatic, but then there's such a positive message to the rest of the world. So, you know, the biggest, I always say to people, the biggest parade in Belfast, and we have a lot of parades, and perhaps we have too many parades, but the biggest parade in the city of Belfast is the Pride Parade in June.
Yes.
And that sometimes surprises people. It's in the city centre, around 55,000, where a city centre parade is the biggest. But this was the biggest ever St. Patrick's Day parade. And it really, I think, sent the heart soaring to see people so positive about the city. And this positivity, an interesting conversation I had with Governor Cuomo last week when
right.
I was in Albany, comparing the success of Toronto to the fortunes of Buffalo. And Buffalo's doing well again, thankfully now, but it's had a tough 30 years. And he talked about negative energy and positive energy, and I actually believe in that. I believe that if people move to the light, if you emphasize the things that are going well, if you really, you know, are ambitious for your city, if you believe in your city, and you try and edit out the negativity, which is what my Buddhist chaplain advises me to do, who's a great San Francisco resident, Paul Haller, who comes from Belfast. I think that is part of the secret of how we build great communities, how we build unity. And Patrick's Day for me was editing out negativity, going for positive, and sending a message that people around the world would say, this is a change today. Peace, the gift of peace, is transforming Belfast. There's a bit to go. There's no doubt about that. There's different things we need to sort out. Richard Haas worked very hard at that before Christmas. But, you know, Irish America, it seems to me, is saying, you know, we help deliver the peace. Now, how do we grow it? How do we transform Belfast but with jobs, with tourism, with investment, and partnership with New York in particular?
Yeah.
Through New York, New Belfast Conference, which we'll have again this year, 29th and 30th of May, Adrian. But, I think that these relationships are really changing lives and transforming the fortunes of Belfast. And peace will not only grow, but will embed because of this continuing support from Irish America, and which, of course, is, I think, to the benefit of Irish America as well.
My guest, friends, is Lord Mayor of Belfast, Máirtín Ó-Maolaodha. And he's also the managing director of the Belfast Media Group, Belfast's biggest weekly newspaper company, which was established back in 1972, and he's also a publisher of the Irish Echo in New York, and serves as Sinn Féin city councillor for South Belfast, building on a previous term indeed in City Hall from 1987 to 1997. Perhaps one of our proudest moments in relation to coverage on Northern Ireland and the good story of Northern Ireland was just a short few weeks ago when we were we had as our guest on this program the Comptroller of the City of New York, Tom DiNapoli, and Tom DiNapoli indeed brought great tidings, which we'd like you, Lord Mayor, to tell us about.
Well, you know what, this morning in New York I met Comptroller DiNapoli. He's a great hero of mine. He has been a follower of Irish politics since the hunger strike of 1981, so he knows when times were tough. He knows that the great sacrifices which were made to get us where we are today, and the great pain that all sides suffered. And he's doing something very practical. He's a great advocate of fair employment, but he's also an advocate of building peace through jobs. And he just made the most important investment by New York State ever in Belfast Equity Fund, Crescent Capital, $15 million. That money is being immediately turned around and being invested in startups in Belfast. Before I came on this visit, I visited Analytics Engines, which is a company which benefits immediately. He made the investment in Crescent Capital and Belfast Adventure Fund, and they immediately invested in this big data company. So that's an example for me, of concrete support of mutual benefit, because the pension holders of New York's Common Retirement Fund, New York State Common Retirement Fund, will benefit as well, because I think they will get a good return on this investment. And it would be my hope that we could bring Comptroller DiNapoli back, because there's no greater testament to investment in the city of Belfast than to be able to say the New York State invested, because they are regarded as the preeminent investment fund in the United States of America. Where they go, others go. So it's really just a great testament to the startup sector in Belfast, to the young emerging companies. And, you know, we're very proud of the fact that there are more American companies in Belfast than any other country in terms of foreign direct investment. So we have Citigroup, we have Intel, we have Allstate, New York Stock Exchange, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and a big list. You know, I don't think there's a city in the states of our size which has as many blue chip American companies as we have. So Comptroller DiNapoli is now moving on to another stage where he's saying our pension fund will invest in the new generation of indigenous startups who will cement the peace with jobs and with opportunity. So enormously grateful to him. This morning I presented him with a Belfast Ambassador Award. He has always been an ambassador for Belfast, for social justice, for change, for investment. And this latest investment just really confirms my opinion that he's a great leader of Irish American.
But as we said in our interview with Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, this arrangement was not born out of sentiment. It was not, in fact, the investment of the pension funds of New York State in Belfast was not contingent upon investing in just American companies. The Comptroller has the sole liability for return on investment, and anything other than that does not make sense, which is probably why it took so long to get to where it is. But I think that it's an endorsement, a tremendous endorsement of Belfast today. Long in the waiting, but that is the type of endorsement you need. There is no backslapping or gromachry or anything other than that. This is a good business investment which has to go right.
And you know, these things do take time, and I'm very understanding of that. But the important thing is that it's done, that we get the result we needed from the patient due diligence and patient advocacy. I think what Tom DiNapoli sees is he sees a new Belfast. And I was in Boston yesterday. I was able to visit a small company called Merchant Warehouse, which is 31 employees in the city of Belfast, does $11 billion of credit card processing business a year. And last week in Belfast, Fellow Systems of Silicon Valley opened its European base in Europe. I hope to later today visit small companies in New York. And New York increasingly is a base for technology companies who are considering investing in Belfast. So I think they see a new opportunity, a new city. And that's why it's so important that people come, and why we're so grateful for you, that Adrian, you and Anya came last year, because really you can read about this stuff, you can hear about it, but to see the transformation, especially when you haven't been with us for a while, I think that really really is what convinces. And we're very proud of Titanic Belfast, $150 million to build, 1 million visitors in the first 13 months, really a Titanic visitor experience. Lit up green for St. Patrick's Day, but really it gives people an extra incentive to come to Belfast, and that's I suppose the new Belfast. You know, we all have images from the TV in the past, and it will take a while for those images to disappear, but I think Tom DiNapoli and others, I can invest in business in New York, are really investing in the future of the city and investing in a new city. One of the things I always say which surprises people, Adrian, is we had 60 cruise ships last year into the city of Belfast. We've now created a new docking point for them at Titanic Belfast Visitor Museum, and we will have 2.4 million overnight visitors this year. Now, New York is 55 million visitors, so we'll never be at that level, but 2.4 million
for Belfast,
spending $750 million. I mean, that's the sort of good news we need to hear for the city, because that creates the jobs, and, you know, jobs are the real true peace dividend.
Not only are they the true peace dividend, but, you know, we have seen from the island of Ireland, particularly over the last few years, the emphasis and the marketing of Ireland has to do with the economy. And I think it's been many the long years since we spoke of, you know, the reality of the matter is that whether this is in Northern Ireland or Southern Ireland or New York City or Boston or anywhere else, if you are employed, if you are able to carry your weight, if you're not on the receiving end of dependency, then that is what makes, the leadership in politics. That's what makes it good or not good. You can talk till the cows come home in terms of areas of diversity with religion and political aspirations and whatever. If you don't have a job, it doesn't make a difference. And I think that brings us right back to what you're doing, and in fact what we saw Taoiseach and Kenny doing this week. Bring it to what makes the difference. And that's where the success is, and that's where the success lies.
And I think that, you know, it's hard to beat the Irish at marketing their own success story. We're emerging north and south fairly vigorously from recession. There's still, of course, some pain out there, and will be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think the way to get the work done is to say to people that we have a strategy. We are, you know, we're marketing on talent. We wouldn't have so many companies there in Belfast or Dublin or Cork or wherever if it wasn't for the fact that we are able to turn out world-class graduates and engineers and a country which is hungry for work. And I think part of us telling a new story from Belfast is also how fortunate we are to have a really brilliant arts scene. And one of the things that we're doing this May, the end of May, New York, New Belfast, we're bringing out the Belfast Community Gospel Choir. So when people think of Belfast, they probably don't think, well, the biggest choir in Belfast is a spiritual choir. It's actually, it's cross-community, people of many faiths and no faith, people of all colours involved in really represent the diverse Belfast. There's 120 in the choir, but 64 are coming to New York. And I thought when they suggested that to me, look, could they do it, make it coincide with New York, New Belfast Conference? They will sing in Harlem. I hope they'll be able to sing at St. Patrick's Cathedral as well. And I thought, well, that's the sort of disruptive image we need coming from Belfast. People, we want them to think in a different way. We want them to think of a new Belfast, and that's part of, I think, the message we're bringing out. That, you know, I know Game of Thrones is a big hit in the States, and I think more and more American friends more said we want to visit the locations where it took place. But I love taking people from Belfast to really speak to the future and speak to a different kind of Belfast, and we're going to continue doing that. And with so many allies, not only Controller DiNapoli, Controller Stringer, I hope to meet soon.
Yes.
I met him in a lift in Albany. And,
he doesn't know what is ahead of him.
Well, and he had some idea anyway when he was telling me about his Irish lineage. But I'm also really thrilled that we have, and I do hope to meet Mayor de Blasio, not this trip, but I hope to meet Mayor de Blasio in May, and his office are keen to organize that. There's been a change of guard in New York, and we need to make sure that we're up to speed with that. But the election of Marty Walsh in Boston,
incredible.
Great friend of Belfast, has been there, a great friend of Irish America.
Mm-hmm.
I will meet him on Monday for a formal discussion about how we cement these links between Boston and Belfast. And, you know, we're trying to do different things. And one of the little ideas we have is we should do an exchange of faith leaders. And building the peace in Belfast, we've been very fortunate to have a number of faith leaders, religious leaders, who really went farther than anyone else. Father Alec Reed of Clonard, Father Jerry Reynolds, the Reverend Ken Newell, the Reverend Harold Good are just four names that really are the pantheon of peace process heroes. But there's so many other faith leaders from all different religions who are building the peace in Belfast. And I have this idea that, you know, we should bring some of them to Boston. We should bring some Boston faith leaders to Belfast. People who are at the cold face working for change, building peace in Belfast, building community in Boston. And that's the sort of, I suppose, new thinking we'd like to bring to traditional exchanges. No doubt we'll do the technology exchanges and so on, but wouldn't it be great if we could get a way to bring the very best of our peace leaders to Boston as well?
Absolutely, and of course you have, you know, Congressman Richie Neal, who has devoted a chunk of his lifetime, you know, into taking very seriously and keeping to the forefront many Irish issues, many issues that affect the Irish, including immigration reform, but also across the board. Sometimes we pick one single little chip and say, this is what we need most. Actually, what we need is all of it, and if you want to talk about, excuse the pun, but chipping away a little at a time, we're getting there. And to that end, it should not preclude politics, whether that is in Belfast or whether it is in Southern Ireland or indeed in New York City or right across the United States. Politics has its place, but at the end of the day, unless there is, you know, there's no point in setting up a debate if you are not going to allow those of diverse opinions to have their say. And at the end of the day, in debates, there are no winners or losers if something very positive doesn't come out of it.
Absolutely. And you know, when you mentioned Congressman Richie Neal, who spent a lifetime working for peace, for progress, prosperity, justice in Ireland, the north of Ireland in particular. But I have to say, you know, it seems to me that right across America, you meet these extraordinary people. You mentioned Quinnipiac earlier. You mentioned the
Irish. John Behe,
Actually, in every state, there are these extraordinary champions of Ireland who have been, you know, chipping away, as you say, been advocating for Ireland, been allies for Ireland. And we're really blessed with that, you know, that I got off the plane in Boston on Wednesday, and my first appointment was to go into the State House to meet the State Senate President, Tres Murray, herself making a real difference in Northwest, Donegal, Derry. She's championing a life sciences pro project there, which will really make a difference. And I thought to myself, you know, what a platform we have in this country, how blessed we are to have these advocates and allies, great friends of Ireland who are doing practical things to build the peace and to create prosperity. And it's true right across the island. We really, you know, and I say this in your program, because I know it's Irish Americans listening, you know, we are tremendously grateful for that. Right across this great nation, right from New York, right to Hawaii, where the Consul General of Ireland, the Honorary Consul General, is a Belfast man, no trainer. Where, especially this month, where people celebrate St. Patrick's, we really are very fortunate to have such great friends.
We are, and indeed, we cannot mention Boston, indeed, without making reference to the consulate. To the Irish consulate in Boston, a man who really shook us up down here, indeed, and is exemplary in positivity. We refer to Brendan O'Kelly, who is now the Consul General of Boston. And apart from the fact, Martin, that he insists on finding out, you know, for somebody like myself who learned every subject Askelge down in Mayo, and he takes great delight in finding out how much I've actually lost over my 55 years here, you know. A powerhouse and a great, again, example of energy and positive energy.
Well, absolutely. I met Brendan yesterday in Boston, a small lunch hosted by the Irish American Partnership, and again Joe Leary. McAleer, they're typical of the people we spoke about. They do marvelous work. But Brendan is not only a wonderful ambassador for the Irish language, but you know, I always say the greatest public servants in Ireland work for the Department of Foreign Affairs, and the greatest of those are posted to America, and that's certainly true of Noel Kilkenny, Peter Ryan, and New York, and has been true of Brendan when he was here, and you know, I think he's really enjoying his tenure in Boston.
Right.
What a plum posting. And he has really approached it with gusto. So again, we're lucky. We're lucky that he's there, really working hard, and he's very appreciative of what Irish America is doing. And,
absolutely.
That's key.
I also don't want to skip over, though we mentioned him, but Joe Leary has been a quiet, a powerhouse of positivity in Boston for as far back as we can remember.
Absolutely, and you know, I met Joe first in, I think, 1991, when really no one was coming to Belfast except journalists covering our trouble, and he was there always going up, always, you know, trying to contribute help on the ground, and we're really in debt to the Irish-American Partnership for all they've done for Ireland, continuing to do, and I know that they're very active in Chicago as well, and I wish them well, and you know, their story is replicated. They're exemplary, but there are people doing that type of work across the nation.
Friends, again, my guest is Lord Mayor of Belfast, Máirtín Ómhuilleoir. But tomorrow is going to be a very special day in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and it is an area parade. It's probably one of the longest parades anywhere, is St. Patrick's Day parades anywhere in America. It just goes on and on and on, and miles of parading, which has taken place there and continues. We'd like to take this opportunity indeed to say hello to Fred Sullivan and to the Honourable Katerie Walsh of the St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee of Holyoke, and indeed its Ambassador's Award this year is going to somebody who we met through our guest today as one of about 25 people and interviews which was set up by Máirtín Ómhuilleoir in Belfast, and his name is Tim Curry, and he was just one of a great number of people who we met, who has a success story that we never heard of. But you, Máirtín, rightly pointed us in the direction of Tim Curry, and we were delighted to interview him. Tell us about Tim Curry, this year's Holyoke, Massachusetts awardee, the ambassador by the Ambassador Award Committee.
This is our boxing friends, Adrian.
Yeah, boxing.
Well, you know, one of the things that's happened in the city of Belfast in recent years, we've realised that boxing clubs sometimes do more for working class communities, for instilling good values in young people, the values of hard work, the values of respect, the value of you really discipline. And the Beltway Boxing Project has brought some of the best young people from Belfast to DC each year for a boxing tournament. And then last year they actually brought the kids the other way. Quite an achievement, because you know that we have many projects bring our young people to America, but I love bringing young people back. And these youngsters were from DC, from the large African American areas of DC, and much as our ordinary working class kids, they had a really productive time. We were really thrilled that they were able to use the Europa Hotel for a boxing contest and tournament.
Right.
And you know, often for young people from working class areas in Belfast, you know, the boxing club is the lifeline. It really focuses them. I used to work in a youth club in West Belfast, and we added on to it was a boxing club. The youth club was always very difficult to run, I thought, because it was very difficult to really keep the young people occupied. The boxing club was like a military academy. And I remember asking Michael Hawkins, one of our great boxing coaches in Belfast. He's 104 boxers in his club. I said, how many are unemployed? He said, one. Everybody else was either in education or at work, and yet they were training like hell. So, you know, boxing brings this desire to do well, to stay occupied. If you don't get a job, then get into education. And Tim and his colleagues have made a breakthrough, I think, in that they have not only brought our kids to D.C., they have managed to keep the funding going for that, but they've actually brought the young kids from D.C. back, and I thought it was really nice to see them acknowledged. Congressman Richie Neal is deeply involved in that project, and as is Billy Tranghese, as chief of staff. And,
yes.
You know, mm-hmm. And Western Massachusetts, one of these areas we don't hear enough about, another powerhouse economy, of course, but the Irish are so embedded there, and they're so proud of their heritage. It's great to see the Beltway Project honoured, the Belfast Beltway Project honoured there tomorrow. And I know it's going to be a big turnout. Many people are telling me they'll be down this Saturday. I won't be there until Sunday. But it will be a celebration to remember.
And also we should say that, you know, when we think of inward investment, we think of mega companies with millions and more millions bringing not only their money, but bringing their goodwill into Northern Ireland, for that matter, into anywhere on the island of Ireland. The goodwill that has been created by Tim Curry, who incidentally himself, he has another job, you know, customs, immigration. He has and a very senior figure in the administration and in Washington to bring in and to create a tie, you know, over here is known as from Beltway to Belfast. When you're in Ireland, it's Belfast to the Beltway. Either way, that type of, again, excuse me, but we learned this phrase from you, of the positive energy. There isn't a better example than what we're seeing right there.
And I think they're transforming lives. They're really showing young people opportunities they wouldn't have. And I love the idea of it being an exchange. You know, I think the most beneficial partnerships between Ireland and Irish America are those which are of mutual benefit. That it's something that we all get a reward from, and this is a real great example of it, that they had so many young people from DC with their parents that made it to Belfast, and we were able to talk about some of the links between our people. So positive people, good to see them recognised and honoured, and I know they're everybody's thrilled that the Belfast Beltway project is being recognised in that way.
Martin. Lord Mayor of Belfast, I can say that firsthand, our spending a week in Belfast was probably one of the singular most significant projects that in my career on radio and in broadcast media. It was your invitation, but it was our experience of what Belfast has become in a very short period of time, and where it's going. It's that one of the great life experiences that we will remember, and long may it last, because it is just escalating, and the positive energy again is something that that you made possible for us to experience, and we thank you for that.
Well, Aaron, thank you, and thank you for getting the message out. That's no use keeping it a secret. We don't want to hide this, flick our light under. But Sean, we're honoured and privileged that you were able to make a time to come to Belfast, but also, I mean, you're such an advocate for the study that we're in your debt. So keep up the good work. Thank you for affording me the opportunity to speak to Irish America through your radio program. But you and Anya are great advocates for Belfast and ambassadors, and we appreciate that very much as well.
Thank you very much. Friends, Lord Mayor of Belfast, Máirtín Ó Maolaodha, and you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.